Good afternoon and welcome to Stage Talk, a weekly conversation about local theater. My name is Mark Muro.
And I'm Jean Paul. And we're here today to talk to Elizabeth Ware about Cyrano's production of Shakespeare's Will, which is opening tonight.
Yes, it is.
And Aaron Weisman and Shotzi Schaefer is here to talk about Out North's production of Rounding Third, which is already running. And we'll start with you, Shotzi. Tell us a little about Rounding Third.
Rounding Third, one of the funniest plays I've ever read, which is why I decided to direct it at Out North. It's written by Richard Dresser, who was a featured artist at last year's Last Frontier Theater Conference. And, you know, I was just picking up scripts, seeing what these featured artists had to, what they had to say, and reading a lot of the plays that they've written. And I picked this one up, and I knew it was exactly what I wanted to do next. It's a two-man show about a couple of mismatched Little League coaches who are trying to lead their team to victory, and they have very different opinions about how to do that.
And Aaron, you're in that show?
Yes, I am. I'm half the cast.
You're one of the coaches.
That's true. We're somewhat polar opposite coaches. And there's the win-at-all-costs coach, and that's Mark Robichoff, who many people know and adore here, myself included. And then I play the second coach that's the newcomer and the one who just wants to have fun. You know, so we, as you might imagine, we clash quite a bit in a lot of different ways. It's very funny, but also has some wonderful, serious moments also.
It's a big contrast in values. That's
it
nice. And that's what you want in theater, conflict.
Great conflict in this show, and like I said, really funny.
Really funny, every step of the way. Elizabeth.
Hey there.
Yeah, hi. And you're in a two-hander as well?
No, I'm in a one-hander, I guess it's called. I'm all by myself. But let me say first that I saw Rounding Third last week in previews, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. It was wonderful. And Mark and Aaron couldn't be more perfect for the roles. It was really great.
Thanks, Liz.
And you've worked a lot with Robichoff.
I do. I've been married to him many times. but this one, I'm doing it all by myself, and it's a play called Shakespeare's Will, and it's not historical, but it is a playwright's imagination of what Shakespeare's wife was like. Her name was Anne Hathaway, and that's about all we know about her. And it's about her, and it does involve her relationship with the bard, but he was gone most of the time. So it's really about a woman who tries to raise a family and cope with life's challenges with an absent partner.
This is kind of like almost like a feminist take on Shakespeare, because, you know, we only get the front people, and they're usually the guys who do things in the world, and then the behind the scenes.
Well, it was definitely a man's world back then.
Yeah.
And
Back then?
Okay, now, always. It's an interesting idea. I think it's going to really make historians and bardolaters mad. And I think for people that can come in with an open mind, I love Shakespeare, and I still love Shakespeare, but I think this is a very interesting interpretation of him.
Well, loving what a person writes and loving the person are quite different things.
Yeah, yep. And he really does become a character in this play. It's been quite interesting getting to know this side of Shakespeare. She calls him Bill, which is, in the playwright's imagination, this was what he thought he called himself. Not Will, not William, but Bill.
That seems contemporary.
Bill.
O-W and a B. I guess they have some kind of old English connection or some Battle of Hastings thing. Who knows?
Dear Lord, I don't know.
Who knows where the diphthong stops? But there's a lot of historical accuracy here.
Much history. You know, we don't know much about Shakespeare. I think I can tick it off on two fingers, or two hands at least, 10 fingers. The actual facts that we know about him. And so the playwright just took what we know. And one of the things that we do know is that he left a will. And in the will...
Or a bill.
I'm sure he left those as well. But he did have this will, and it did leave bequests to different people, his wife among them. And I'm not going to give away what she got in the will. But that's
come on.
What a lot... No.
No.
Okay.
Well, You'll just have to read the play.
And this is a lot like your play, which is about baseball, which also begins with a B.
Yeah, they're companion pieces,
that's
actually.
Right.
Yeah, go over to Cyrano's and see Shakespeare's Will and come see Rounding Third at Out North. And one of the things that, one of the reasons I chose this play and wanted to do it at Out North was because there's not a lot of opportunities for people to go see plays that they can actually take their families to. And that was something I recognized when I read this script. It's not children's theater by any means. And yet, it's, I'd say, about PG-13. I think Mike Dunham said he compared it to an episode of The Simpsons in terms of how far it goes, that really it's no worse than that, and you really can bring your kids to it. And there's not a lot of opportunities at Out North because we do so much edgy stuff there. I thought, you know, springtime, let's do something that really matches the season and gives people an opportunity to bring their kids into the theater with them.
Aaron, were you a little leaguer yourself? Are you a baseball kind of guy? I know you play volleyball.
Yeah, I was not a baseball, kid growing up, but I have been in competitive athletics for most of my life. So I identify with kind of this tug of war that's happening because I have actually a bit of that conflict within myself. I'm generally kind of a get-along kind of guy in person, but when I get into competitive athletics, I want to win about as much as anybody. So it's I have my own inner turmoil there that parallels, I suppose, this script. So, yeah, it's not baseball itself. So.
But sports in general.
Yeah.
That testosterone kind of need to crush your opponent is here.
Except don't have it.
Your
character doesn't have it.
Not in the character. I'm playing against type a bit there. True.
And yet he develops that hunger for winning through the course of the play.
And I'd like to say, my son, when he was 7, was on your team. There were a coach and assistant coach, and it was win at all costs and let's have fun. Mm. So there's truth in your play.
You got
really
to see
wonderful.
It firsthand.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
For those of you who are just tuning in, this is Stage Talk with our guest Elizabeth Ware from Shakespeare's Will. And we have Aaron Wiseman and Shotzi Schaefer, an actor and director, respectively, from Rounding Third, which is playing at Out North right now.
And I have a question that has something to do with acting that has puzzled me, and you may not be able to even give me an answer, which would kind of confirm what I suspect. I had a reading at my house a few weeks ago, and 3 people picked up a script they had never seen before and read it. These were local actors, and read it well. So that the characters came alive and they didn't sound like they were just reading. If I did that, I'd sound like I was reading from a book, like most people sound like when they're reading from a book. Now, is that talent or is it learned?
I think it comes with experience. That's how you get parts in the first place. You have to be good at cold reading. Mm-hmm. And it's something that you develop, don't you think? But I think it starts young. It starts with reading Dr. Seuss with expression, mm-hmm. when you're 5 years old and having an example. My grandmother was an incredible oral reader, and she could, do all sorts of things with her voices, and it was so exciting to listen to her, and I think she was my inspiration for going into the profession I did. So It really is part of the job, but I think it is something that you develop as an actor. There are cold readers, though, that are not very good.
But they're good actors once they learn the part,
Because
it's like what Gene was saying, there's a knack. I mean, some people, they pick it up, and even though you can't really, you could hear them, and they become like maybe the surrogate character before they find the character, but it always sounds like a real person. Whereas, like, you could, hey, you kids, get away from there. You kind of like affect some phony baloney kind of thing. So both you guys got that knack? I mean, it would be a little bit off-putting, I think, if you were really, really bad as a reader, then you probably would be dissuaded from choosing, to be an actor.
Sometimes you make the wrong decision, and that's kind of fun when you're doing a cold reading and you're going along and realizing that, oh, wait a minute, this scene is going in a completely different direction than my voice is taking it, and you have to kind of backtrack and think on your feet. That's the fun of acting, don't you think, Aaron?
It's all about finding the character. We often hear motivation as being the catchword for what actors deal with is what's behind that character. I've known very few people who I think naturally can just pick up a script and pick a motivation for that character and stick with it.
And be right.
And be right. That's rare. I think it is something that's cultivated and developed. And with experience, you start to realize what to look for, pick something, and stay with it.
Yeah. And I think as actors, we always hope we have the opportunity to read the script in advance so that we can give a really great first reading, a really great audition. But that's not always the case. You don't always have that opportunity.
And what they teach you in an acting class is go with your instincts. Because, you know, sometimes you do get just handed a script and you have to read. And sometimes it's with a stage manager that reads back at you with absolutely no expression whatsoever. So I've been told, you know, just be instinctual and give it as much as you can, even though it might be wrong. I was just reading something in, I think it was in The Week, about Leonardo DiCaprio's first audition with De Niro.
Boy's Life?
Yes. Did you read that?
And no.
He decided to just be completely wild in his reaction to De Niro, who was putting an empty
jar
of mustard
in his face.
Yeah. And did he end up getting the part?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's a very powerful scene.
I've never seen it.
If you see that scene, it looks like they're just improvising, like they're off the hook.
Yeah. Well, he was completely unprepared for it, and he just, as he's capable of doing, he went ballistic. And apparently it got De Niro's attention, and consequently he got the job.
And he was very young.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. 14,
I think.
It's after the Gilbert Grape thing, right?
I think it was prior to that.
It was before
prior to that?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because you can see it, it's almost uncomfortable because he leaves the confines of acting and becomes like a real kid. Mm-hmm. And like he's crying and stuff, and it's pretty gut-wrenching. It's very real.
It defines, I think, what good acting often is strong choices. And that's what, you know, both in cold reading and in general in theater is when you make bold choices and stay with them, that can carry the day.
Yeah.
And I think that you're kind of answering my question. Yes, it needs practice, but it's a talent.
Yes, I think that's a good way of putting it. A little of both.
Yeah, and lots of instinct. Or intuition.
Mm-hmm.
What's the difference between instinct and intuition? Well, I don't know. Let's ask the mammals.
Are you really asking that question?
No, I don't know. I don't know. I just thought of that.
That's what you call a rhetorical question.
So does that answer your question, Jean?
Yes, perfectly.
Why some
Thank
people kind of suck and some don't?
Not to put too fine a point on.
I'll tell you this. Reading Shakespeare cold is very difficult.
Oh, yes.
Very difficult.
Oh, I should imagine. Yeah. I should imagine because the language isn't normal to your voice. So,
well, and I think it speaks to the you're often looking for the perspective that a character has, and that's what's a little tougher for a lot of us to identify with in Shakespeare. Mm-hmm. A little easier in rounding third, but I don't envy your job list.
Well, and my Shakespeare isn't really Shakespeare. Shakespeare as well is a contemporary play. So.
True, true.
Yeah.
Oh, well, good. So you don't have to read it with it.
No rhyming couplets.
No, well, only one. I do recite a sonnet, and it's a bad one. I really don't like it.
I can't wait to see it.
He didn't hit it every time.
I think we're running out of time. This is fun. I'd like to continue the conversation, but we do have limits. So I want to thank you all for coming. Elizabeth Ware and Aaron Wiseman and Shotzi Schaefers, and talking about Out North's running production of Rounding Third, Rounding Third, of course, and Cyrano's production of Shakespeare's Will, which opens tonight. Thanks for coming.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And now here's the Stage Talk calendar. And remember, for another calendar, you can go to datebook49.com, where you can list your event on KSKA's website. On the UAA main stage, you can see a production of Ibsen's famous play, A Doll's House. This show runs through April the 18th. For tickets and information, call 263-ARTS or go to centertix.net.
The Drunkard, with music by Barry Manilow, continues at the Valley Performing Arts Mockitants Theater in Wasilla. Performances are Friday and Saturday at 8 and Sunday at 2. This show runs through this weekend. For tickets and information, call 373-0195 or go to valleyperformingarts.org.
UAA and Anchorage Opera presents Kismet for three more performances tonight and tomorrow night, which is Saturday, at 7:30 p.m., with a final performance at 4 in the UAA Recital Hall. This classic musical features the music of Baradin, including Stranger in Paradise. For tickets and information, call 263-ARTS or go to centertix.net.
If you're out of Anchorage, you can see a couple of white chicks sitting around talking in Seward this weekend, and also next weekend at 8 p.m. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at the Marine Science Center. Or if you're in Talkeetna, see the Alaska Theater of Youth performance of Hamlet tonight at 6:30 at Susitna Valley High School. Contact the Denali Arts Council in Talkeetna at www.denaliartscouncil.org. Or in Seward, call the Arts Council there.
And Cyrano's presents Shakespeare's Will, opening tonight and running through April the 25th. Performances are Thursdays and Saturdays at 7 p.m. and Sundays at 3 p.m., also Friday at 7 p.m. This is an award-winning Canadian play about Shakespeare, told from the point of view of his wife, Anna Hathaway, starring Elizabeth Ware. It's a one-person show. And also on Saturday night, it's Canadian Night, hosted by the Canadian Consulate, celebrating Vern Thiessen, who is a leading Canadian playwright. For tickets and information, call 263-ARTS or go to centertix.net.
At Out North, you can see Rounding Third. This comedy play runs through April 24th. Watch two little league coaches turn a ball field into a battlefield. Showtimes are 7:30 Thursday through Saturday and at 4 p.m. on Sunday. For tickets and information, call 279-8099 or go to www.outnorth.org. Well, that's it for this week. If you'd like to download free podcasts of Stage Talk, visit our website at kska.org. Thanks for listening. Until the next time, I'm Jean Paul.
And I'm Mark Muro for KSKA.